A final reading of our text tonight. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Have you ever tried fasting? I have, and I'm usually not very good at it. I can skip breakfast, but usually by lunch I start to get those grum bellies and I start to justify, oh well, maybe just a little snack here or there. But I have been able to fast for, 24 hours, even a couple days. One time I even fasted for a week. It was probably the hardest thing I had ever done before. No, that's not true. Taking biblical Greek at seminary was. But I remember that week and how, when I would keep myself busy in my studies, I had no problem fasting. But when I wasn't keeping myself busy, that's when I noticed the hunger pains and the temptations your nose kind of gets amplified, your sense of smell, it really gets amplified. I could smell fresh cookies being baked like three blocks away, but imagine Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it's not that kind of wilderness that we think of here, with oak trees and maple trees and lush greenery. The wilderness over there, if we had a projector, I had a beautiful picture for this night. We stopped where the proposed site was, the proposed wilderness where Jesus was fasting. And there was no greenery for as far as the eye could see. But there was these stones that were when I got off the bus and we read that passage, I could see how easily those stones could look like loaves of bread. I just was blown away by it. And I'm thinking, okay, so this is more of a desert, not a wilderness. And so there's no chance of Jesus kind of cheating on his 40-day, 40-night fast. And then Satan shows up. Satan doesn't show up at day one or day seven. He waits until the very last moment where he perceives Jesus to be at his weakest point. And then he shows up and starts to tempt. And I think if how that relates in our own lives is when we are in the Word on a daily basis and are devoted in prayer life and feeding off the very Word of God, we can be kind of like on the mountain of God in a very high holy place where temptation does not come easy. But when we're not feeding on the Word of God, our defenses go down and our state becomes weakened. And that's where temptation usually starts to take place, in those weak moments where we're hungering for something, but we're not realizing what we're hungering for. And so Satan comes and the temptation starts to take place. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but it's a battle of who can quote the Bible, right? Because Satan in the second temptation, he says, "For it is written, you know, the angels will come and bear you up on their hands so you don't get hurt." And Jesus responds, quoting Scripture again. And I think that's the thing that we tend to forget, is that the evil one knows Scripture just as well as we do. And he knows how to use it against us. And he tried it with Jesus. And Jesus being Jesus and the Son of God, he was able to fight it off. And so I wonder where you're at in this moment. Have you been feasting on the Word of God? Are you in the high mountain or are you in the low valley, in a place of fasting, a place of starvation, a place of temptation? Jesus comes and he conquers. In the very last sentence, he says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." I think that's something that we tend to overlook too, because we have Christ in us. We have the same power that Christ authorized us to have. Away with you, Satan. You're not going to win this battle. And so we come to the table that Jesus prepared himself, and I am really going to use this stuff to... Matter of fact, I am going to make sure that I use these as a precaution, because you can tell that I'm kind of fighting something. So Jesus, after winning the battle, with the battle yet to come, takes bread, gives thanks, and blesses it. It says, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Feast on me." And when the supper was over, he takes the cup and he gives thanks and he blesses it. And he says, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so we come to the table tonight, ready to feast for a second time, if you think about it, because we've been feasting on the Word of God for this hour. And now we're ready to feast on the Word of God, the bread and the blood. We pray, no matter where you're at in your stage of life, whether you're fasting or starving, that you would come to the table replenished, refreshed, fulfilled, to take on temptation and to say, "Go away, Satan, for I have something in me, the Word of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would descend upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake and ingest these sacred elements, that they would be Christ for us, to sustain us, to renew us, to refresh us, to redeem us. In Jesus' name, amen. The table has been set. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive the gift of grace that God offers through the communion. There's also a basket at the front of the table. If if you'd like to place an offering in there. As you are hungry, as you are led, come, the table has been set. You'll simply tear off a piece of bread and then hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you, and then simply dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Yeah.
saw a church sign Saturday that said, you want to get rich quick, count your blessings. And I was thinking about that as the benediction or the blessing about sacred moments and the blessing of being able to feast on the Word of God, both the Bible and the bread and the cup. And Holy Communion becomes very sacred for me on many, many different levels. And tonight it became sacred again on a whole new level. Because most of the time when we serve, the pastors or the server tears off a piece and hands it to you. And I'm thankful that I was a little under the weather, because as I was holding the bread and each one of you came forward, I think I had a revelation in the fact that we all participate in the tearing of the flesh that caused Jesus to take on the cross for all of us. And I leave you with that sacred moment that Jesus did it for all. May you go in grace and peace and the comfort of being nourished on the Word of God. Amen.